Brother Woody, I want you to come, brother. You obey God. Let her rip, brother. It don't make any difference to me what God tells you to preach. Amen. I mean, you just preach it.
R.C. Sproul said, the greatest weakness in the church today is that many servants of God keep looking over their shoulder for the approval of men. Amen. We don't need that. Amen. We can get God's amen. That's what we need.
Brother Woody,
amen.
Obey God, my amen. Dear brother.
Appreciate you so
I
much.
I need to repent. I'll do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here tonight. I appreciate Brother Tommy, and I've enjoyed the service thus far, and hope it'll continue to be a blessing and a help. I am humbled to be able to be here today, and I tell you, I'm just thrilled to death that the Lord would allow me the great privilege and the great honor to be here, and what a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, without the Lord, we would not be here today, would we? So we owe it all to Him tonight. And I just want to try to encourage you and pray that the Lord would help you and encourage you as well. And I count it a joy to be here and praise the Lord for it. John chapter number 12 tonight. The book of John chapter number 12. Pray for the service and pray that the Lord would just let the service get on, so to speak, so I wouldn't preach, but I appreciate the Lord. He knows better than we do what we need, and so I'm just grateful that the Lord has led us here, and I appreciate what He's done in our life. John chapter number 12, and I want us to read verse number 1. It says, then 6 days before Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I do want to preach tonight just on the subject of worship. So let's pray tonight again, and do pray for me. Father, pray that You'd touch Your Word now. Lord, pray that You'd use it for Your glory and Your honor. May You encourage and help. And Lord, send conviction where it's needed. Send reproof where it's needed. Send exhortation where it's needed. Lord, we trust You tonight, and we pray that You'd get all the glory for everything that's done in the service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is the celebration supper, commemorating the resurrection of this dear brother by the name of Lazarus. While it was a time to celebrate, not all were in a celebration mode. In the background, there was a war that was raging. But let's consider what happened between these two events. The Passover was coming, and the air was electric. There were tense conversations everywhere. Some loud, some were carefully quiet. Do you think he will show? I've never seen that many guards at one time. No, I don't think he'll chance it. Yes, I think he'll come. In just 6 days, our Lord will be stretched on a cross and give His life as the supreme sacrifice for sin. This is the setting for the opening verses of chapter 12. Mark chapter 14 tells us that the house belonged to Simon the leper. Matthew 26 reveals that the rest of the disciples were there as well. So evidently the table here was set for at least 17 people. This was certainly a time of great joy. What transpired at this meal is a picture of genuine worship. Jesus is worthy of the highest worship that we could give tonight. Amen? And He alone is worthy of all of it. Not just some of it, but all of it. Those who have been redeemed by His blood ought to respond to Him with genuine, passionate worship. But while some are considering the styles of worship tonight, I just want to deal with the substance of worship. Let me say that people express worship in different ways. But there are certain elements that must be evident for us to consider it to be rightly worship. At times, do we not confine worship to just a few moments on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? A few acts of singing, praising, and praying. But let me say, worship is not limited to just lifted hands and tear-filled eyes. And we see the truth in this text as we see it lay before us. Start, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was raised, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made Him a supper. Now, just like any good Baptist folk, we just look for a good reason to get together and eat, don't we? Amen. They gotta be Baptist. Amen. But we see there is a dinner. This was not an ordinary meal. One writer referred to it as a thank you dinner for to Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead. We see a picture, three different individuals I want to look at tonight real quick. Number one is Martha. We see her serving. We see Martha serving. Verse 2 tells us plainly that there was a supper. And if there was any cooking going on, who was we going to see around? We had to see Martha coming around if there was going to be food served. And as the Scriptures tell us of Martha, this was her gift, was it not? This is what she loved to do. Martha had a desire to cook. Praise God. I thank God for those who have a desire to cook. Because I have a desire to eat, amen? So I praise the Lord for that. But if anybody was going to prepare a meal, it was going to and serve, it was going to be Martha. No doubt in that day, I don't know, it's possible she might have had a good kitchen called Martha's Kitchen. Amen. We're not talking about Martha Stewart now. We're talking about Martha in the Bible. Amen. She had probably been up all night. Can you imagine? She's been up all night preparing the food so that first thing in the morning she could fire up the oven. All day the aroma of the celebration meal had ran through the rooms. Martha had used her best recipes. Why? Because Jesus deserves the best. Amen? So no doubt she pulled out the best recipes she had. She wanted to make sure that this supper was the best supper that He had ever ate. Could you hear everyone saying, well, I wonder who's going to serve the meal? And one person says, well, I heard Martha was going to serve. And all of a sudden, a look comes upon the faces saying, uh-oh, not Martha again. Don't you remember what happened last time that she served in a meal? Things got a little messy in the kitchen. And I just don't know about Martha serving. But let me say, we see a different Martha this time, though, don't we? There's a different Martha that we see. Look at Luke chapter number 10. Look at Luke chapter number 10 with me. And let's look at the first time that we saw Martha serving. Verse number 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Let me say that in the text we see a different Martha. What was different about Martha? Let me say that her attitude sure did change.
Yes, that's true.
Her attitude changed. You want me to tell you what worship will do? It'll change your attitude. It'll cause our attitude to be different about how we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that Martha was willing to hear the gentle rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. Here was the good thing. Martha had placed her service before her worship. And let me say, me and you will always get in a mess when we place our service before our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. She found out that out of her worship will come the right service. Thankfully, this is a good thing. Jesus did not want Martha to become Mary. He was not saying, Martha, you ought to be like Mary. What He's saying is, Martha, you're troubled about many things. You're doing right, but you're troubled about many things. Mary had chosen the good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. He wanted her to be Martha, but be a transformed Martha. To be a Martha that worshiped while she served, not just to change into Mary. Thank God for Martha. If there wouldn't been Martha, there'd be nothing on the table. We need Martha around. We don't need everybody to be Mary. We need some Marthas who are willing to just be willing to serve. Amen? Not for a hierarchy, not for their name to be put on the plaque, not for their name to be put open, but just to say, I want to serve and give the Lord Jesus Christ the best that He deserves. See, here's the thing. This wasn't, in Luke chapter 10, it wasn't going to be the Last Supper that she was going to make. There was going to be another supper that Martha was going to need to serve at. And this next supper was going to be 10 times better. Was going to be way better than that one right there. Just because Jesus rebukes us does not mean that it's over with, that we're done with, that we're finished with, that this is the only time I'll get to serve Him. What He's doing when He rebukes us is He's teaching us, He's training us to worship Him so that there's another supper that's coming down the road. There's another meal. There's another opportunity to serve Him. And this time we won't put our worship before our service, and therefore He'll get more glory out of it. This wasn't the last one. We see that Mary had chosen that which is better, which is to worship. And said that it will not be taken from her, which means that if we choose, we must choose to worship. And if we worship Him, and if He is who we are seeking, Jesus will make sure that we have that worship. We won't have to wait for the circumstances to be set just right for us to worship if we really want to worship God. We won't have to wait for a revival meeting. We won't have to wait for Sunday morning. We won't have to wait for everybody else to get gathered around and somebody gathers around a piano. If we want to worship God, we can worship Him anywhere, anytime that we desire to do that.
Amen. That's good. Glory to God.
We see that service can be worship if it is done with the right attitude. Let me say, we can do the right thing with the wrong attitude. We can be busy about the right things, but with the wrong attitude. And it does matter that we have the right attitude. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means our entire life is worship. Our entire lives is spiritual worship. Martha learned that true worship also involves service. There was a difference in Martha. We see in Luke chapter 10, Martha received Jesus into her house. But we see in John chapter 12, she is serving in someone else's house. Here's the difference. Our service will be right when it's not about us. See, here's the thing. Martha said, this is my house. So if this service is going to be done, it's going to be done my way, or it's not going to be done at all. This is my food that's getting put out onto the table. And if it's going to be my food, I ain't going to just let anybody's food. I'm not just going to let anything happen in my house. But then when she got in John chapter 12, she said, you know what, this isn't my house, so I'm going to be here to just do whatever I can. This is the danger in serving. Sometimes what happens is we get so caught up with our will, our song, our desire. When are we going to realize that the church is not for us? Here's the thing. People look at the church with a country club mentality. They put in their fees, so they ought to get... They're going to look what's going to give them the most bang for their buck out of their church. What church is going to appropriate them the most? What church is going to look to them the most? Here's the deal. The church is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for us. It's for the glory of God. The joy is that we just actually get to serve in it. That He gave us a church. That He gave us a place to serve. That He gives us an opportunity to love Him and to worship Him and to give Him our best. Why? Because the only thing that we have to give is what He's first given to us. The only food we can put on the table is that food that He has given to us. The only thing He's going to bless is that in which He's put into us. The only thing that we deserve to give is that which He has given unto us. And let me say this. Don't let the devil tell you that the only way you can serve Him is by getting up and preaching a message or singing a song. My friends, some of y'all are just faithful to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're raising your family for the glory of God. I'm telling you, you're doing a great service. You keep on doing that. Some of you are saying, I'm just trying to obey my mom and dad while everybody else is going out and disobeying and doing the world's thing. Let me say this. You just hang in there. And you serve because there's going to be a dinner that God's going to want you at. And He's going to want what you have to put on the table because He's going to gift you to be able to place that which He has blessed for you to do there. A platform's not the only place to serve God at. You can serve them down at the high school. You can serve them down on your job site. You can serve them where you're at in your home. You can take your wife by the hand and lead her into a prayer in the middle of the living room and say, we're going to just come and we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, the world may not give you a pat on the back. The world may not enjoy everything that you're doing. But I'm telling you, to have the God of heaven look down at your meal and to look down and say, that's where I want to eat, at that table right there. Amen. Thank God that He's let us serve. Amen? Amen. Not only Martha, but we see another guy just worshiping. This guy by the name of Lazarus. What a name, amen, Lazarus. What is Lazarus doing? Lazarus is sitting. Lazarus is just sitting. Now, we're talking about worship tonight. We see serving, but I want us to look at sitting. Notice in verse number 2, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Notice it says Lazarus was one of them. I want to say I'm just thankful that I'm glad to be one of them. Amen? Amen? I'm just glad to be here tonight and to be able to say I'm one of them. There was one time that I wasn't at the table, but thank God now I'm at the table. And I praise the Lord because the only reason I'm at the table is because God got me to the table. The only reason Lazarus was there was because Jesus Christ. And I want to say, thank God, just to be able to say I'm sitting at the table with the Lord. Because it wasn't long ago He was lying in a cold grave, dead, wrapped in grave clothes, surrounded by dead, lifeless corpses. But all of a sudden He heard the great voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying,
Come forth, Lazarus, and life and light came into this dark, lifeless body, and now he's sitting at the table about to eat a filet mignon with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the exhibit A of the miracle that Jesus had performed. He's the reason that the whole table's being spread. It's because of this guy who was dead, but now he's alive. My friend, tonight, thankfully we're at the table because Jesus has made us alive through His great grace. Praise the Lord that we know what's going on around here. That it's not just another church meeting. That it's not just another time we get together and mark the box to say we've been at church. But we come so that we can get in, not so we can get out. We came to get into the Lord. What He's done for us. Amen. Look at verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that He was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. My goodness, he done got raised from the dead. Now they want to put him back in the grave. Let me say, that's exactly what the world wants to do. He wants to silence the voice of those who have been made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. They would much rather see us dead, lying in a grave, than alive. If it should have been that they would have been excited for this guy. He just got resurrected from the dead, man. This guy's able to be with his family. He's able to be at the table. They should have been there saying, man, Lazarus, you was just in a grave, man. Now you're sitting with us. What a great miracle. This is a blessing. Now let's get together and let's strike up the chord. Let's say amen. Let's praise the Lord. No, they're seeking to kill him again. Bless his heart, man. He ain't even done nothing. He ain't even gave him a reason to be mad at him. Verse 11, because that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Lazarus is an interesting figure. He never said anything worth recording. Apparently he never did anything other than dying worth recording either. See, the power of Lazarus is not in what he did for Jesus. It's in what Jesus did for him. Lazarus did more soul winning, just dying and being raised again, than more Baptists do in passing out a lifetime of gospel tracts. It said that many believed on Jesus. What was it about Lazarus? It was just the fact that at one time he was dead, but now he is alive. Let me say to some of you, this is your means by worshiping Jesus. See, here's the thing. They knew you. They know you were dead. They know the way you lived. You lived in the grave of everybody else. You were there wrapped in grave clothes. Everything you did just permeated death. But all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life. And now you don't know why it is, but you're sitting in a Baptist church here at a revival meeting. This would have been the last place you would have ever thought you would be living in, that you would be sitting in, that you would be enjoying in. You used to look out and said, man, they're wasting their time in that church. Now you sit in here and you look out and you say, man, they are wasting their time out there in the world. The thing is, and now they know that at one time you were lost, your life was a wreck, it was shambles, it was a mess, man, and all of a sudden now they just know that you live. Your life has been changed by the power of Jesus, and the change is undeniable. Every time you open your mouth, it used to be cursing like a sailor. You used to be right in there with the jokes that all the guys told down at the job site. But now you pray like a saint. Your life is an act of worship. Every time you pick up your Bible, instead of a bottle, you're pointing to Jesus. You're worshiping Him in the process. And now you're telling the world that I was dead, but now I live. As Brother Tommy said, a power of a changed life is something that the world just cannot compute. They can't factor it in. They can't figure it out. They can't get an equation to really formulate the power of the miracle of the blood of Jesus Christ changing somebody's life. Spurgeon said, There are some Christians who cannot do much or say much, but their godly lives, their quiet holiness is a good witness to Jesus Christ. Are you sitting at the table? That's worshiping the Lord. Amen. I praise the Lord for old Lazarus. Then there's a third character tonight, Mary. We see Martha was serving. Lazarus was sitting. But now Mary is surrendering. The people in the room that evening, they were enjoying a great meal. Martha put out the best. Lazarus was sitting there. One guy there. They're all just staring. Man, what happened, Lazarus? What in the world? I don't know. All I know is that I was dead, but now I'm alive. And here I am with an appetite at the table. I can't explain it. Let me just hit this while I'm there. Some people who say, man, I'm saved, I'm born again, but they have no appetite to be at the table. I just wonder, is that a biblical salvation? I can't understand that. I love Jesus, but I have no appetite. Anyway, let me move on. Mary was surrendering. Mary, surrendering. Everybody was enjoying the meal, but it got interrupted by something that was both unexpected and very uncomfortable for most. Mary ignored the gasp and the gawks. Mary wasn't worried about anybody else that night or that at that moment. She had come to worship Jesus. And in doing so, she demonstrates for us some important truths about our own worship. Notice John goes into great lengths in this text to make sure that we realize how costly and valuable that this perfume was that Mary poured out at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Very costly. John tells us that Mary had somewhere around 12 ounces of this ointment called spikenard. It was extracted from a particular plant that grew in India. The process of turning it into a perfume was long, complicated. It was a favorite scent around Palestine, but most people had to buy a cheap imitation of it. Mary's bottle, on the other hand, contained the real thing. And John says it was very costly. If we take Judas's word for it in verse 5, the ointment would cost as much as a yearly wage for someone living in that day. If we translate that to our time, it would have been worth tens of thousands of dollars. And Mary poured it all out on the feet of Jesus Christ. If we translate to our time, it would have been worth tens of thousands of dollars. She gave Him the very best that she had. You know what Mary did? She broke the box. She broke it. Let me say, there's something about worship and one of the elements of surrendering to the Lord is a breaking of the wheel. Last night, I sat over Brother Tommy in the middle of the service. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, kill the idol. Kill the idol of my self-will. Because it's not you that I don't trust. It's me that I don't trust. I want to be obedient to the Lord. But I understand there's a breaking process that's got to happen. And I want to tell you, everybody's different. Whatever it takes to break you may be different for somebody else. But I promise you this, the expense of our worship will come at the cost of being broken before the Lord. It reminds us that the half-hearted worship that costs us nothing isn't the kind of worship that Jesus deserves. What would we give for Jesus? What is the most valued possession that you have? What would be the very thing tonight that brings you the most joy in your life? What is it that brings you that joy that you just cannot wait? When you wake up in the morning, that you look forward to. Maybe when the weekend comes. What are you thinking about? What is bringing you joy? Would He be enough? I've asked myself this question. I'm a preacher. That's all I know. That's ever since I was 18 years old. The only thing I've desired to do with my life is to preach the gospel. That's what I desire to do. But let me ask you. I had to ask myself this question, Brother Tommy. Wonder if He took my voice away. Would Jesus still be enough? We're talking about the cost. And let me say, Jesus deserves everything we have. And let me say, He's steadily working that process of sanctification. It may hurt, but it's not there to harm us. Would Jesus be enough for us? That's the expense. But what about the expression of her worship? Here's the thing, what I found in Luke chapter 7 is there is another account of someone who anoints the Lord Jesus Christ. There was someone else. Mary had seen this somewhere else. And that was from somebody else. Look at Luke chapter number 7. See, Mary had seen this or heard about this happening before. Luke chapter number 7. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of this woman is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love Him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom He forgave most. And He said unto them, thou hast rightly judged. And He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. He who has been forgiven much will love much. Our love for Him will only be a response out of we understanding of the love that He has had for you and me. We love Him because He first loved us. Our love is a reaction, a response to the wonderful love that He has poured out into our life. She laid down her hair. And as shocking as some may say, this was a shameful act in that day. She took her hair, she began to wipe the excess perfume. Mary was humbling herself publicly, showing by this act how much she recognized the glory and the majesty of Jesus. John says that the smell of the perfume filled the room. Everybody in there got a whiff of Mary's worship. But the smell wasn't for them. It was for Jesus Christ. Mary wasn't worried if anybody else liked it or not. As Mary humbly gave herself with no thought of her own glory, she became a primary means of spreading the blessing. Here's the thing. Mary had an expectation in her worship. In verse 7, "Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burial." She had kept this. This was the thing. Mary knew what was coming for the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a sense to know that not long He was going to be stretched across a cross and given. He was going to die. And many commentators believe that because of her devotion, always sitting at His feet, Mary saw more clearly than the rest Christ's approaching death. Let me say, the closer our devotion and relationship with Him, the greater meaning His Word will have in our life. The greater our devotion. One man said it like this, "With tears it was not written, so that then without tears it will not be understood." And many times what the Lord is doing in our life is bringing us into a place in our life where we can correctly see the truths of the Scriptures. She had put this ointment put up to anoint His body after His death, but she apparently decided she wanted to go ahead and use it now before He went into death. Like Mary, here it is, there ought to be an expectation in our worship. Mary worshiped in anticipation of when she would see Him no more. But we worship in anticipation of the day when we will see Him for the first time. Amen. We don't have to wait to heaven to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We go ahead and worship Him now because He's worthy. Mary worshiped looking forward and looking toward that time. I'll leave you with this. Recently, we've had someone in our church that's been praying for a certain prayer to be answered well over a year. And we had been praying with them for that. And she had given herself to this prayer in an expectation of how she thought the prayer would be answered. You ever done that? Prayed a prayer and expected the answer to come in the way you thought it, but then to find out that the answer came, but it was not in the way that you thought it was going to be answered. She had been praying for a long time. And recently, while in an altar of prayer, praying for a long time on this, holding on to this prayer, she said in humility, "Lord, this prayer has not been answered in the way I thought it was going to be answered. But the fact that You led me to a place to worship You, it's been worth it." It's been worth it. My friend, may we find worship in our prayer with an anticipation. It's going to cost. Oh yeah, it's going to cost. But the rewards are well worth the cost that it's going to cost of our pride and our ambition and our selfish motives. The brokenness. What's God been doing to break you so that you can worship Him? Would we be willing to endure 2 years worth of an unanswered prayer just to have that moment to where we get to see the Lord clearer and better than we ever have before? I'll never forget, we was at Brother Doug Bearden's meeting, camp meeting, and Megan had just got her eyes dilated. It was about this time of year, so The windows were there, and the sun was just starting to come in. And the way where we were sitting, Brother Brian, the sun had started to gleam in, and there was nothing blocking that beam. I mean, it was coming right in there. And Megan said, "Man, that sun just seems to be getting brighter." And let me say, I responded to her very spiritually. Amen? Of course. As a preacher would. I said, "The sun's not getting brighter, honey. It's just getting where we can see it more." Let me say, the sun's bright. And he's not going to be any more brighter than he already is. He's already as bright as he can be. But that we get turned to where we can see him more clearer, he'll become brighter than he ever has. Amen? Worship. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "I would rather be a successor to Mary of Bethany than to the whole crowd of apostles." Amen? What a blessing that the Lord would let us worship him by serving. And let me say, we're all Marthas. We're all Marthas. We all get messed up and troubled and cumbered about many things, about our own will, our own desire. But hear the gentle review. He doesn't want you to turn into Mary. He wants you to be you. But worship. Don't put your service before your worship. Let your service come out of your worship. Amen? How about just enjoying sitting at the table with the Lord? What worship? What better worship could you have sitting on your face before a Bible and God speaking to you from eternal truths from His Word there at your coffee table? Amen. Amen. Sitting at the table, but also surrendering. What do you need to surrender? I tell you what, I've never surrendered where I was not grateful. There was never anything I gave up that God didn't give way more back in return. Amen. He deserves it all. He gave it all to us. He deserves it all. Maybe tonight you just need to surrender to the Lord and what His will is for your life. Amen. I'm going to pray and I'll turn it over to you, preacher. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, pray that you'd use it. Let it find rest and place in our heart. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of that dead grave. And Lord, bringing us to the table so that we can enjoy the blessings of being saved tonight. Lord, we thank you for the eternal work that's going on. Pray that you would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Preacher.